This is a podcast of Roger Allen speaking at Hope Community Church on Sunday the 7th of October. And he's speaking on Gideon as part of the Life of Faith. I'd love to just introduce you to him if you don't know Roger. Roger and Angie have been part of Hope for some time and are really involved in the events of the city and the church in the broadest sense across the city of Bristol and beyond. And Roger's Life of Faith is quite an inspiration to me. One thing that I particularly recognise within Roger is that he sort of discerns the times. He recognises the times and the seasons and maybe where the Lord is maturing and growing and leading the church in the sort of years and seasons that's ahead. So an example of that was around 2004. I think it was it might have been Christian Aid that launched a booklet called Act Justly. And that was really equipping the church within social justice, where the kind of charismatic evangelical church in this country hadn't been as engaged in social justice as it is now. And Roger had really, with a group of people, sort of worked the ground around that area, helping the church to develop that love and compassion which is expressed alongside the message of salvation which comes with the cross and the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. And what Roger's been working on in recent years is this recognition that I think in our sort of churches we've tended to have an overemphasis towards the sort of professional Christians being the ones that are doing the important work. That's some of what we've communicated sometimes, so pastors and vicars and so on, you know, doing the kind of the main bits of Christianity, and others doing a bit when they can. And as we know, that's not the Bible, that's not the gospel at all. But Roger's really been helpful in championing whole of life Christianity. You know, we heard this morning about Jo talking about her media work within media, Christian media, and Susie as a GP working on mental health. And this is all part of our Christianity, of our living out the life and the message of Jesus. And I just love the way Roger's a real champion for that, recognising the different spheres of life that we live in and work in. And he's a real leader in the city, ploughing this ground, sitting on this tractor, ploughing this ground that is whole of life discipleship. And it's an inspiration to me. So he's not going to be speaking on that particularly this morning, but that's a bit of background to who Roger is and his life of faith.
So we pray, Lord, that as Roger speaks to us this morning, that you fill him with your spirit and that you open up these wonderful ancient truths to us and make them fresh food for us today. Amen.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. That's great. Yeah, so that's cool. That's a little bit of my particular walk with Angie and our family. And thanks, Chris. I guess today, really, I mean, we're looking at Gideon. And yeah, actually, I mean, this is all about every single, each and every individual one of you, as well as me and Angie and our family, but you and your families and you as an individual. And what, you know, one of the things I love about Hope is just that we've sort of really got this, that you are all created, for a purpose. And it's discovering and finding out what is that. It is utterly unique, every single one of you. And as Chris says, that may be helping lead churches, but it obviously is just as important to be going off to Africa, just as important to be a school person, a doctor, a cleaner, a dustbin man, depending what our calling is, or woman. Now, what is your individual calling? What is, between now and the day you die, what are you here for? And I guess it's just trying to grasp that and grapple with that. And then to be set free from the stuff that sort of blocks us. And for each one of us, just to be catapulted and released into who we are. And it's sort of as simple as that. But it's not just easy. And I guess with Gideon, just a great example. And I think personally, I'll boast straight away that I really identify with Gideon in his weakness. Okay. And I just wonder, you know, in comparison, you know, I'm just a little human being, one little human being. And in comparison with the whole universe that God has created, or the power of a tsunami. I'm very weak and I'm very small. And I think it's okay for us to sort of acknowledge that, each one of us. I mean, do you feel that? Do you know that? Do you want to just wave if that's how you feel? You kind of boast about your weakness? Yeah, no, cool. It's great. But we don't just leave it there, do we? Because Paul says, I will boast about my weakness. Why? So that Christ's power will rest on me. And when I'm weak, then I'm strong. So it's okay to feel weak. I mean, that's just the sort of reality of life. Compare with this vast universe. Of course, we're small and we're weak. But with the creator of the whole universe on our side, together, nothing is impossible. Is that okay? I guess that's the story of what's coming through today. I thought it best perhaps not to read chapters 6 to 8, because it's three chapters. I've only got about 20 minutes to speak, and then we'll be in small groups, actually, in any ways that you feel comfortable in twos or threes. I'll say that a bit more later. But rather than reading three chapters, we just saw that little four-minute or so film. So I hope that reminded us of the story of Gideon. And I guess this whole thing is summed up. If you look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 34, and I think in the red Bibles that's page 1017, and in the green Bible it's page 927. And I think his whole story, and I'd like to say my whole story, and hopefully our whole story, and it's okay just to acknowledge this, is summed up in the way that in Hebrews it sums up Gideon's life and others of faith life, where it says, weakness turned to strength. And that sums it up beautifully. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. In other words, they became victorious in their own individual calling. And what God called them to, they battled through all the things which were challenges or barriers or things which were knocking them from their past. And with God, they were able to break through those things and see his victory. And I just pray that for each one of us. You know, that's each one of us. Wherever we find ourselves, every aspect of life, every day, you know, walking in the park, going shopping, if we're at work, if we're not at work, you know, if we're with the kids, if we're, whatever we're doing, every aspect of life, God just affirms all who you are and longs for you to find that in all its fullness. And that's our prayer today. So that's very cool. Last week, Chris spoke about Deborah, and this is just saying a bit about the judges. You know, who are they? This is the book of Judges. And my little version of, I love Duncan's song about, you know, created in love and that whole song that we sung. My little version of the biblical worldview that this is part of is that there's a God who's love, that he created this world out of love. But because it's love, we're free to choose not to love back, otherwise it wouldn't be love. So what happened is there was a whole mess in the Bible where people chose not to love back. And that brought in a whole load of not love, and of mess. But straight away in Genesis chapter 3, you see the redemption coming through. So you've got creation, you've got fall, and then redemption with God's love and God's justice coming through. And first of all, in the Old Testament, he was sort of doing that with his own people, wasn't he? So Moses and Abraham, all those guys through Israel as a nation. But sadly, because they're human, they messed it up the whole time. And in the end, he had to come, didn't he? As a Jew, out of Israel, as Jesus, to show us what a life of perfect love is all about. And so we're now then part of being part of Jesus and that New Testament, and that's part of who we are, seeing his kingdom come in every aspect of life. And then one day he'll come back to earth, and then he'll rule here for the whole of eternity out of love and justice. And we're part of that whole flow. And with Judges, so this is the Old Testament, and what you've got is Moses and then Joshua had taken God's people into the promised land, into Israel. And there they were. But before then, the nation had kings like Saul and David and Solomon. There was a period of time, it's about 1380 BC, where they had judges ruling over them. And Deborah was one of them last week. Gideon's another of them this week. So that's how this all fits into the big, broad picture of the Bible and of Scripture. And let's just see a little bit about the story of Gideon as one of those judges. So that's 1380 BC, but this is talking, and I pray for everything that we're talking about Gideon, that you'll be able to, you know, associate with that in your own life, your own individual life, here, 21st century, 2018, out in Bristol and beyond. So I'd like just to use 3 D's as we look at this theme of turning weakness, our weakness, my weakness, Gideon's weakness, all of our weakness, into strength, which is God's strength with us. That's the difference. And there are 3 D's. So the first one is to do with design, Gideon's design, your design, my design. Second one is disbelief, Gideon's disbelief, your disbelief, my disbelief. And how God then helped to break through all of that with Gideon into destiny. Gideon's destiny, your destiny, my destiny. All as part of God's people, seeing his kingdom come here on earth, as in the Lord's Prayer. So this is part of that series, the Life of Faith series. And we just want to apply this to our lives, you know, today, now, here. So Lord, just help us to do that, to learn from Gideon together. So the first of those 3 D's is design. The context of that is actually Judges chapter 6 verse 1. So in the red Bible, that's page 218. And in the green Bible, it's page 192, I think. And what you'll find throughout Judges, throughout this book, what you'll find is that there's a little pattern as to how the writer writes it. And the first thing that always comes through in the pattern is it says the Israelites, so God's people, did what was evil in the Lord's sight. So there was the recurring pattern of the judges, of the age of the judges, is this. There was disobedience from God's people. Then there was a crisis, and that was usually an invasion by a foreign power, in this case the Midianites, who were particularly cruel. Then out of that desperation, God's people called on God. He then brought a deliverer, in this case Gideon, and there was then peace. And that cycle was just repeated throughout that whole age. So I guess the first thing I'd like to learn, I mean, you pick up obviously whatever God's saying to you, but in my own life or in our life as God's people across Bristol, you know, Lord, just save us from this cycle of sort of disobedience and of going our way and of being drawn off by the gods of our world. They were drawn off away from God by the gods of Canaan. And they, you know, you saw in the cartoon, they were making a little golden calf. Well, you know, what are the idols of our age that would draw us away just from that simple obedience to God? Well, I mean, I think the biggest one is probably mammon and comfort and sort of consumerism and just living a really nice, respectable, comfortable life, just like everybody else around us. And that can suck us away from a radical obedience to God. Discuss. It can do. Of course, as we're radically obedient, God may want to bless us with all sorts of material abundance if we're using that to see his kingdom come. But I think that's a real thing of our heart. You know, we can't serve both God and mammon. And what's he saying? How can we be sucked away into disobedience by the gods of our age? Just like the people of God were around Gideon. Even Gideon at the end, there was a question mark. As he was, all the gold earrings were given to him. Right at the end of his life, his family, were they slightly sucked away? And there are so many people I know, you know, including myself, as just something I have to guard against the whole time. It's sort of radical, sold out for Jesus. And yet we can end up going to that default system where it's all about how big is my pension. Is that what life is about? Is that different from the people around us? Question mark. Discuss. Just a question. But is it more than just a question? It's something I ask myself the whole time. How can I stay radical and obedient to the day I die? Judges 6 verses 1 and 2 says actually the Midianites were really cruel. As the Israelites disobeyed and went their way, God would sweep through. He would sort of try and bring them back by bringing in a foreign invader to bring them back to God. But the Midianites were particularly cruel and nasty. They'd come in on the video. You saw them just sweeping away all the crops, taking it all away. And there was a lot of fear around. And I think fear and being afraid is a big theme, isn't it, of this particular story of Gideon. And again, I mean, it speaks to me. It speaks to us. How afraid are we to be radically different from all the conformity around us and all the pressures around us to live a certain way? Yeah? Can we step out and be different? And in our living certain ways, can we, within that, try and keep that radical edge? What does that look like for each one of us? And I think, you know, as I see around Hope, I just see people everywhere working that out between them and God. And I love that, and I learn so much from all of you in that. But you find, first of all, Gideon hiding in a place of real fear, utterly afraid of these vicious Midianites. I mean, I probably would be as well. Hiding in the fresh, you know, threshing wheat, trying to make sure his wheat wasn't stolen by these invading armies. It's right at the bottom of a wine press. So you can imagine that. Yeah, I've been in that sort of place. I'll be afraid and worried. What will people think for Gideon? You know, what does his family think? And for him, actually, he could have died by doing one or two of the things he did. His family and the people of his town. So there was a reason to be afraid. But do we live, us, me, in that place of sort of fear in our lives? You know, does that bind us and keep us from breaking through to our full potential? I don't want it to. Do you want it to? I don't want it to in my life, in my family's life, in my children's lives. I want us to be free from that. And so along comes an angel of the Lord and speaks with that first D, that design, speaks to Gideon and calls him right there in that place of utter fear and hiding, calls him a mighty warrior. A mighty warrior, or in your version, a mighty hero. But the key to it is that he says, and the Lord is with you. So we can feel utterly weak and say, I'm not a mighty hero. No. In my own strength, no way. And guess what? I'd be completely correct. So not. But the key is, with God, with me, with Gideon, with you, we are. And we will be. You will be. I will be. And I think that's great. You know, we have the Living Free course here at Hope, and I guess the reason I said the word design there is that's part of our terminology. You know, what's our original design? Who are we created to be? And I guess, you know, with my son Jack, who's 18, maybe 5 or 6 people quite separately, when they've been prayed for original design at various times, have said, you're a mighty warrior. Sometimes Jack would say, am I a mighty warrior? Yeah, you're a mighty warrior. And it's prophetic from God. Maybe so many of us have received those words over us, that those prophetic words as to who we are, who we are created to be, you know, the purpose of our life. You know, what is your vision? What is your dream? What is God's dream for you? Do you want to keep grappling with that together and find that? I mean, I do. But then secondly, there's a second D, which is disbelief. God told Gideon in a couple of words who he was. He was created to be a mighty warrior. But in one word, Gideon completely dissed that. Because he said the word but. In verse 13, he said, but I am from the weakest family and I am the least in my family. So Gideon is at the bottom of the threshing floor, utterly hiding, utterly weak, utterly in fear. And he says, I am the weakest and I am the least. And so I think in Living Free terms, that might be called a sense of insignificance. And I think, if we're real, some of us have suffered from that. And he needs some freedom prayer, doesn't he? To help him to find his destiny. And so many times, I think it's in verse 23, 27 there, you know, it talks about fear, being afraid. And that's such a how he was. He was trapped in that. But the third D for Gideon and for all of us is the word destiny. So design, disbelief, and then destiny for each of us. You know, just release it. Lord, let us rise up to our destiny. And what made the difference for Gideon? What made the difference? In Living Free terms, you know, part of that will be the idea of freedom prayer and the five R's. You know, he recognized that he was afraid, that he was living in fear. He saw that. He repented of it. He didn't just change his thinking, but he changed his action and the way he walked from then on. He received God's forgiveness. He probably forgave himself. This is the freedom prayer that we do here at Hope, as so many of you know. He probably rebuked a few battle things that were going on, and then he replaced all that. I think just one little story from my own life, actually. 94, there was a whole move of the Holy Spirit in those days. We were back from Zambia for 1 year. It just happened to be the 1 year that there was a whole move, Toronto Blessing stuff. And for 3 weeks of that, I was studying an MA over in Norwich, and for 3 weeks of that, God just totally took. I woke up one morning, and I found, I have no confidence whatsoever. Just even to get out of bed for 3 weeks. It stripped it away. But I said to God, look, I've got no confidence whatsoever to get out of bed, but I'm still going to go to college, and I'm still going to pray for people. We're part of a ministry team. And I just had this phenomenal life-changing experience over those 3 weeks. We would be praying probably about 4 or 5 times a week. There was such a Holy Spirit thing going. And I would just be praying for somebody. Literally, I'd just be praying. I knew that I was nothing. No confidence, no strength, utterly weak, nothing of me. I'd be praying for people, and the Holy Spirit would seem to be doing all sorts of remarkable things in people, as he was then, and as he still does, and as he will continue to do. And I knew this was nothing to do with me. I was utterly weak. And that was one of the two big lessons that I learned over that year. And it's key to the rest of my life. It's okay to be weak. As long as we don't stay there. As long as we just then use that. And so, as Paul says, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 5, in the Red Bible, that's page 972. It says, I am going, said Paul, to boast only about my weaknesses. Verse 9, it says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power, God's power, is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more about my weakness so that Christ's power will rest on me. Summed up in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10, where it says, when I am weak, and don't just leave it there, but step out anyway, step out anyway, step out anyway, then I am strong. Because it's not just me, it's me and the Holy Spirit, me and God, me and my covenant partner. Little weak me plus big strong God, anything's possible. So Gideon's weakness was turned to strength. It was replaced. The fear, the afraid was replaced by being became a mighty warrior. It wasn't just a prophetic word. He became a mighty warrior. And so what are some couple of keys? And then I'll finish and it'll be over to you guys. A key to being not afraid. Judges 6 verses 12, verses 16, verses 23, it says it the whole time. The key is that God says, I am with you. So let's just get on with it. And Gideon learned, the other key is that Gideon learned to hear God. And I love this with our times, Tuesday mornings, other times, you know, Living Free. We're learning, aren't we, to hear God in the silence. We ring fence the time. It's often the first thing that we hear. and go with it. Trust that we've got the Holy Spirit in us and learn to hear God. And we've been trying to do that across the region, across the whole region. We have silence the whole time where we discuss stuff. We discuss stuff in the family sphere or wherever. We discuss it. We knock it around. They say, hey, let's have silence. What's God saying? There's no point in doing it in our own strength and our good ideas. Let's try and hear what is God saying. And then we can, like Gideon, step out with this massive confidence because we know God has said it. If it's just my idea, I mean, that's really shaky. Yeah, what do I build my life upon? What do you build your life? What did Gideon build his life upon? And so, you know, he put fleeces on the ground and God proved, you know, boom, this really is me. Okay, I better pay attention. Too many warriors, 32,000. That's probably about the number of Christians are across Bristol, actually. 32,000, 35,000. And God said, no, that's too many. So every time we try and do it God's way, it's not the logical way. It's like trying to hear it. Yeah? It's not the logical way. Got down to 300. And then God said, you know the whole story. Just jars and trumpets and torches. Do it my way. And as we just try and do it God's way, I don't know, I don't quite understand it, but we first learned it. I mean, Silas is big on it, and I keep learning from Silas, you know, just from John Melindy and all that from way back years, World Trumpet Mission, this thing of big covenant God. And as little people, as we just try and do our little thing and try and obey it, hear, obey, trust, hot, hear, obey, trust, hot faith. Hear, obey, trust, faith, hot faith from Nancy Gowdy. As we just try and do the little bit that we're supposed to do in our little way and try and obey it, then somehow that connects with God doing his big stuff across the whole region, across the whole nation. We just try and do our little stuff obediently and he does his big stuff. And that's what Gideon did. And I love it, actually, because the thing that he said to all those soldiers, if you're afraid, no fear here, guys. We've learned how to kick fear out, and that's by hearing God and obeying him and doing it his way. And I love the way God just helped Gideon the whole time. So with that story with the dream, he said, you know, go into the camp. If you're afraid, that's what he said, if you're afraid, go into the camp, just listen to the soldiers and hear what they've just dreamed. And they had that dream, and they said, didn't they, there's this sort of great big loaf of bread coming. I said, that must be Gideon. And then what is amazing, as Gideon just did it the way God told him to do it, then God did the rest. Gideon just sort of blew his trumpet and watched as all these Midianites turned on each other in the dark and in the confusion, didn't they? And they were completely... And it's lovely because it says, the Lord caused the Midianites to fight each other, 7 verse 22. And it said, God gave victory over the Midianite army in 8 verse 3. Okay. And so just finishing. Gideon's original design, the starting point was mighty warrior. So who are you? What has God said to you? Now, what are you passionate about? What are you interested in? What do you love? What do you feel strongly about? Who are you? Who are you created to be? And that became reality, didn't it, for Gideon, as it can for us, as it is increasingly for us. Chapter 8, verses 12 and 13, it says, Gideon routed their entire army. He returned from the battle. But he knew that it wasn't his strength, but it was God's strength in his weakness. So actually he then refused to become the king. They asked him to become the king. He said, no, he's learned it's nothing to do with me. I'm just walking as a little person like we all are. But I got a great big God. It's God who will rule over you, he says in 8 verse 23. So, you know, God will speak to each one of us through all of this, through our lives, our individual lives. And I think let's just have a bit of silence just for 1 minute or so. And let's just have God speaking to you and to me individually. Yeah, so just ring fence it like we do, you know. Lord, just ring fence this time. Just not, how do we hear from God? Some of you know this inside out. You do it so naturally, supernaturally. Some of you here say, hear from God, haven't got a clue. Well, here's just one way to make it a bit easier, okay? And I'll just say it and teach it. We're going to ring fence this time and listen to how I do it. You'll do it your way, but this is how I do it. But then just listen out for the first thing that pops into your spirit and go with it. You test it. We're always told to test everything. But let's trust that we've got a Holy Spirit living in us. And what he brings up is really him. Like Gideon, let's really start to believe that it's not just us by ourselves, but we're with a big God. So let's ring fence. Lord, thank you for each person here. Thank you for your destiny, your design and your destiny for each person. Just want to ring fence this time. Doesn't matter what noise there is or not, just speak to us. We say, don't want to hear nothing of that is not of you. But help us to sense, to see, to hear what you're saying to us. We're just going to be silent for literally 1 minute. What are you saying to each one of us in that silence or whatever noise there is? Don't worry about it. Speak, we pray. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Maybe that first thing that pops in your spirit. Just be silent for 1 minute. That's cool. Some of you need to go and get children. I don't know about you, but there may be stuff that you sense that you'd want to share more broadly for other people. So just checking back to Chris in a moment, Chris and Alice. But for example, what I sensed is Gideon only had 300 people, and it brought complete transformation to his nation. The power that, as Marvin would say at times, the power that's in this room can help bring transformation to this whole city, the region, this whole nation and beyond. Because we're partnering with Mighty God. And it's as simple as that. Let's just start believing it. I mean, we are. Let's believe it more. So, Dad, we just need your help to believe this more. To know that we're not alone, that you're here with us individually, but also as a church, as part of your bigger army, and there's an army rising up in every aspect of life. Instead, just to say, it's been a real privilege with various of you, as you're just thinking, well, actually, I'm at a time of change in my life, or actually, I'm not quite sure who I am. I want to knock it around a bit more. I've had some great times of I'm a life coach, and I'm delighted to connect with any of you to help find that. But obviously, there's also the Living Free course that goes on. If you're struggling with anything that I've said, and you're saying, look, that applies to everybody else, but not to me, well, come and see Chris, Alice, or Silas, and we can knock that around. January is the next Living Free course. If you really want to, who am I? Why am I here? Then that will help answer those questions. If you want to knock it around in real, everyday, nitty-gritty life, then have a chat about some of that life coaching with me as well. Chris and Alice, hope that's...
Can we give Roger a clap? Thank you. When we did some sort of marriage kind of training stuff, they ask you questions about, like, you know, are you in agreement, all these areas? And we're like, yeah, we've processed everything. And then they were like, what's your, like, plan for your pension? And I'm like, oh, pensions, that's so boring. But the older you get, the more you realise people really care about stuff. And what I love about Roger and Angie is they are just so still in the game, still taking territory, still contending for truth and reality, and still trusting God for all that stuff when it seems to matter more. So we just honour you, and we're so grateful for your what you bring here and what you bring to so many people. Just incredible, safe parenting to so many people, and just vision that, you know, you just brought the social justice thing through Christian Aid into our stream of faith. So we're just so grateful for that big thing you do, and you're just so humble with it. Let's just give them a clap again, because they're just so incredible. Just honour you. One of the reasons why I think the army was stripped down to 300 was because the first lot were afraid. Did you notice that anyone's afraid? About 20,000 people left. And then he looked at how they drank the water. And those that drank without any regard for the enemy territory around them, they just, in a sense, prioritised the flesh and their own needs. They were taken away. And there was just 300 who were not afraid and were on point all the time. Does that make sense? 300 of those is worth more than 32,000 people who bring an allegiance, but actually in their heart are not connected and not engaged. And I believe that we have a church here of wholehearted engagement. I just feel the power in it, and I feel that that's who we are, and that's where we're going. So we just want to bless. When Roger spoke and we heard from God, they're like seeds that go into our soil, and we just water them, we keep them in the sun and the water of God and the Holy Spirit, and we let those roots grow, and they will guaranteed bear fruit. We are designed for fruitfulness. Actually, a lack of fruit violates our design. Everything God touches is fruitful. It multiplies. And so we just bless those seeds we heard. It may be that they actually confirm things we already knew, and we're beginning to see fruit. We're in the summer season, or maybe early autumn. It may be things that we just know we're in winter, but we know it went in and it will bear fruit. And so we just affirm those words will not return to you empty. You will give. We will give a good account at the end of our life that those words worked. And also, if there are people you'd like to just share, this is what I heard from heaven. Can you partner with me in this to see this thing birthed or changed? I have a distant relation on my mother's side with a group of people called the Clapham Sect, and they were instrumental in bringing abolition to the slave trade in the British Empire. It was just a few people, and I know that's in all of us, that DNA is in all of us, just a few people in agreement have capacity to make massive historical changes. So just bless you, bless us in all that. And pray that we do walk and contend for our destiny. Amen.